Let's turn together to Leviticus chapter 23. I want us to consider some insights and blessings from Shavuot. Leviticus 23, Moses is given directions about the various pilgrim feasts that God has set up. And in verse 15, he talks about Shavuot. And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwellings 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord. And then in verse 22, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap, nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Let's pray together. As we consider Shavuot together, Father, may we know the joy of celebrating the harvest. In Yeshua's name, amen. This festival is one of the 3 pilgrim festivals where all the men were to go to Jerusalem to worship and celebrate. Shavuot is one of the names of this festival. Shavuot means weeks, and it derives that name because of the counting of the Omer, the counting of the sheaf, which happened on the 2nd day of unleavened bread. And then it was counted 50 days, 7 weeks. And then this was to be celebrated. Another name is it is called the Feast of First Fruits. Pesach was the first fruits of the barley harvest. And Shavuot is the first fruits of the wheat harvest. These 2 first fruits together indicate that there is more to come. Shavuot is a time of celebration for the blessing and the provision of God. It is acknowledging that God is the one who has provided. And it is also a celebration, a worship, a thanksgiving, and an anticipation of a greater harvest that is to come in the fall. And as I read in verse 22, it is also a time of particular generosity to those in need. In reviewing this in the book of Deuteronomy, God impresses Moses with some further insights in Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 9, we read, "You shall count 7 weeks for yourself. Begin to count the 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the grain. Then you shall keep the feast of weeks to the Lord your God, with the tribute of a freewill offering from your hand, which you shall give as the Lord your God blesses you. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, the Levite who is within your gates, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are among you, at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes." So God adds the dimension in verse 11 that this is a special time of rejoicing before him. This is also a time when the normal sacrifices are given, because there is the continuous reminder that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And any celebration that we have with the Lord is predicated upon the fact that we come by the blood sacrifice of an unblemished substitute for us, pointing always to our Savior Yeshua. Among the customs of this day, there is the reading of various parts of the Tanakh. One of the portions that is read is the book of Ruth. We turn to Ruth chapter 1. We understand why this book is read at Shavuot. We know the story of Naomi and her family having gone to Moab because of a famine in Israel. And after Naomi becomes destitute, she returns to Israel, and her daughter-in-law Ruth accompanies her. In verse 22 of Ruth chapter 1, it says, "So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest." And so that would be Pesach. Then in chapter 2, verse 23, chapter 2 accounts Ruth's noble effort to glean in the field, to take care of herself and her mother-in-law. And in verse 23 of chapter 2, it says, "So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law." And so Ruth reaped, gleaned in the field from Pesach to Shavuot. The wheat harvest was the Shavuot celebration. And so this book of Ruth is one of the scriptures that is read during Shavuot, a reminder of God's provision and God's care. There are other scriptures that are read. One of the scriptures is Ezekiel chapter 1, and I'll go there in just a moment. But another insight that has come about Shavuot was the discovery or the realization that that is also when God gave the Torah. So in Exodus chapter 19, if we could look there for a moment. Exodus chapter 19, verse 1, it says, "In the third month, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. And then they departed from Rephidim. They had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and they camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, 'Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel.'" Moses went up on the mountain with God, and this is when God gave to Moses the Ten Commandments. And so the rabbis have thought the third month is the month of Shavuot, the month of Sivan. So it is thought that God then gave Torah, gave the law to Moses. So Shavuot has also become a celebration of the giving of the law, the giving of the word of God. Now let's come to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. This is also read on Shavuot. One of the customs that has grown around Shavuot has been the study of Torah, the study of God's word, reading from the Tanakh, various portions. And some religious Jews will even read Torah or study Torah all night. Tonight. I think that's a wonderful tradition, showing the love of the word of the Lord. But if you go with me for a minute to this first chapter of Ezekiel, revealing the glory of the Lord, imagine that this is being read perhaps on Shavuot mornings. It begins in the evening, perhaps in the morning, it's being read together. In chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Kibar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth day of the month, which was in the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kibar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. And this is the vision that Ezekiel saw. Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it, and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. And as Ezekiel continues to watch this vision of God unfold, there are flashes of lightning, there are creatures that are strange to our eyes, there are wheels within wheels, and it's a platform is being described, a glorious platform, and the one above the platform is the living God, Almighty God, seated above the firmament. In verse 26, it says, "And above the firmament, over their heads, was the likeness of a throne, an appearance like a sapphire stone. On the likeness of the throne was a likeness with the appearance of a man high above it. Also from the appearance of his waist and upward, I saw as it were the color of amber with the appearance of fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his waist and downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire with brightness all around it, like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day. So was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord." I've always been fascinated by this text of Scripture. I haven't understood it, but I love to read it because it shows the glory and grandeur of our God. And Ezekiel's response helps us enter into what this must have been like. "So when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one speaking." An overwhelming, awesome vision of the glory of God given to Ezekiel. Now let's fast forward a few hundred years to Acts. Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 1, the risen Yeshua has spent time with his apostles and disciples for a period of 40 days, revealing himself, showing that he was alive through many infallible proofs, speaking about the kingdom of God, and telling them to wait in Jerusalem. For 40 days, he did that. And then he ascended to heaven. He ascended 10 days before Shavuot. And he told them to wait in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. And so these believers, knowing how to wait, gathered together and spent those days in prayer. And then came the morning of Shavuot. And you can imagine that Ezekiel passage that we just read had just been read by the gathered worshipers. So in chapter 2 of Acts, verse 1, Shavuot is also called Pentecost. Penta is Greek for 50, meaning the 50 days. When the day of Pentecost, when Shavuot had fully come, the believers were all together with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Just like Ezekiel's vision, where he heard this whirlwind coming out of the north, the believers gathered together in prayer, suddenly heard a rushing mighty wind. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and sat upon each one of them, that glorious picture of the glory of God, the brightness and the fire radiating color out of the midst of the fire. That vision of Ezekiel was coming true right before their very eyes. And they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues, languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were speaking the glories of God. They were speaking the wonders of his person. And the gathered worshipers, the Jews that were dwelling there in Jerusalem, celebrating Shavuot from every nation under heaven, when they heard the sound, the multitude came together and they were confused because everyone heard them speak in their own language And they were amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who are Galileans? And now it is, and how is it that we hear in our own language in which we were born?" And the nations are listed. And then in verse 11, it says, "We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." And so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" The vision of Ezekiel perhaps floating in their heads, and they hear the rushing mighty wind, and they see the flaming fire, and they hear the praise of God on this day of celebration and on this day of worship, on this holy convocation. And whatever could it mean? And of course, we know what it meant. And Peter explains it to us. This is none other than the ascended Yeshua fulfilling his promise, pouring out his Spirit. Yeshua, the first fruits, bringing in the first fruits of the harvest on Shavuot. And after Peter declares the glories of God and explains what's going on and ties it in with the Tanakh and says this is none other than God affirming that Yeshua is Lord and that Yeshua is his Messiah and that Yeshua is salvation. And then Peter, as it were, pulls in the net. In verse 40 of chapter 2, it says, "And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' And they were wondering, 'What shall we do?' And Peter had said, 'This is what you shall do. Trust in him. Believe in the Lord Yeshua and be immersed to indicate your belief. Repent and be immersed in the name of the Lord Yeshua, Yeshua Mashiach, for the remission of sins, and you too will receive this wonderful gift, the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh.'" And verse 41 says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, were immersed, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." A great harvest. Shavuot, the first fruits of harvest. A celebration of God's provision. A time to be generous, a time that we remember the giving of the Word of God and the giving of the Spirit of God. What glorious gifts God has given us that we might experience the fullness of our relationship with Him. In his second letter, Peter writes about these gifts of God to us to provide all that we need. God has provided for us physically, but even more importantly and more essentially, God has provided for us spiritually. God has provided all we need for life. Shavuot is a reminder of that. Peter writes about God's provision in his second letter, chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. He writes, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Yeshua our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." His divine power has given all that we need to live a life in him, to live godly in him. And this comes through the intimate and personal knowledge of him who has called us not because of ourselves, of who we are, but because of his glory and because of his virtue. Verse 4, "by which have been given to us," what is the tool by which we receive, what is the means by which we receive God's provision, "by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." God has provided gloriously for us spiritually. These great and glorious promises he has provided for us. And then in verse 8, after he goes through a list of the qualities that God is going to be working into us, in verse 8 he says, "For if these are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Yeshua Mashiach." In other words, As you and I live out by faith these glorious promises empowered by God, as we live in the intimate personal love relationship with Him, as we know Him more and more deeply, these qualities will begin to emerge more and more in our lives, and we will be fruitful. Isn't that Shavuot? Fruitful. A glorious harvest of righteousness comes in our life through the gift of the Lord, Yeshua, and through His promises. Shavuot is a glorious reminder to us that God is our great provider. And I was pondering on the fact that Shavuot is also the Feast of First Fruits. First Fruits means this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning of our life with God. I think of Yeshua being called the first fruits from the dead. In the first letter to the Corinthians, Shaul writes in chapter 15 and verse 20, "But now Messiah is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." And then in Shaul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, this is what's coming for us. Verse 13, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers and sisters, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Yeshua. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Messiah will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." The first fruits, Yeshua, which means you and I are going to rise too. There's coming a day when we will no longer need an airplane to leave the surface of the earth. There's coming a day when that trumpet will sound and the fullness of the harvest will come in and death will be totally obliterated. The victory that Yeshua has won will be obvious. And Shaul says, "Therefore comfort one another with these words." The first fruits, resurrection has happened for Yeshua. Resurrection will come for all who follow Him. And then the first fruits of the harvest. There were 3,000 souls that came into the kingdom of God on that first Shavuot after Yeshua had risen from the dead. And that's the promise that God will fulfill the latter harvest. In Romans chapter 11, Shaul writes about this latter harvest. Verse 25, "For I do not desire, brothers and sisters, that you should be ignorant of this mystery." There it is again. Shaul doesn't want us to be ignorant. God doesn't want us to be ignorant. He wants us to know the truth, the hope that we have. "I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." God will bring in every last person, harvest every last person in the Gentile world. And so all Israel will be saved, and God will not leave out the Jewish people. God is going to bring in the fullness of the harvest one day, and all Israel will be saved. The Shavuot tells us the first fruits has happened and the fullness of the harvest is guaranteed because of the first fruits. And then there is the gift of eternal life that we have through the Spirit, the first fruits of walking with God. In a second letter to the Corinthians, Shaul talks about this first fruits. In chapter 1, verse 18, of his second letter to the Corinthians, he says, "But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no, for the Son of God, Yeshua Mashiach, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. All the promises of God are available to us in Yeshua, and all we do is say amen to them. Yes, I believe it. I receive it. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. Now, he who establishes us with you as Messiah and has anointed us is God, who has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. First fruits. A guarantee. That's a down payment. God is saying, the Spirit of God living in our hearts is a guarantee of more to come. In chapter 5, Saul writes even more about this. Beginning in verse 1, he says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven, if indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. I love that picture. Swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. There he says it again. A guarantee is a down payment. That means that what we have tasted of the Spirit and of life with God, of eternal life right now, what we have tasted is just a taste, a first fruits, a foretaste of what's to come. So every time we get together and celebrate Shavuot, it's a reminder of our great provider. It's a reminder of all he's given us to live life, and it's a reminder that the best is yet to be. So it's cause for us to celebrate, because God is going to bring in the fullness of the harvest. God is going to raise us from the dead, and God is going to knock our socks off with his glory, with all that he has for us together with him for all of eternity. Let's worship and praise him together. Let's bow together in prayer. Thank you, Father, for these glorious promises. Thank you for the celebration of Shavuot. Thank you for the harvest. Thank you for your provision. And thank you for the hints and glimpses that there is so much more you have for us in Yeshua. And we thank you for this glorious hope. May that encourage us and bring great rejoicing to us as we celebrate today in Yeshua's name. Amen.